Welcome to Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee. We're on a five-year journey through the whole Word of God, and today in the New Testament book of Romans is where we're beginning, starting with chapter 1, verse 1. And it's a great time to join us on the Bible bus as we explore some of the most essential beliefs of our faith, including the Trinity, the virgin birth, and the deity and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's only in the first four verses. So go ahead and grab your Bible, and if you got Dr. McGee's notes and outlines, grab those too. If you haven't yet downloaded your free copy from ttb.org/notes, well, they're available to you anytime. Before we begin, let's take a few minutes and share some letters from our fellow Bible bus passengers. Here's one from a student in Fairfax, Virginia. Thank you for your ministry and faithfulness. I'm a graduate student with a stressful schedule and appreciate that you make Dr. McGee's teaching available in different ways and on demand. I'm often up late and listen online. Your Bible studies through Dr. McGee's voice are part of my spiritual health routine, and I'm grateful to have the opportunity to take time to be still and know who our God is. Isn't that a wonderful letter? You know, if you'd like to discover the many ways that you can hear through the Bible, just visit us at ttb.org/listen. Now, here's a letter. This is from a gentleman in Ohio. My parents were born in Italy. I pray for their homeland as very few people go to church and very few know our Lord. Dr. McGee introduced me to my Savior over 20 years ago. My parents sacrificed to send me to parochial schools where I got a good education. But in my teen years, I began to have questions about religion. I'm eternally grateful that our Lord drew me to the Bible bus so that I could hear the truth and surrender my heart and my life to Him. I pray that'll happen in my parents' families who still live in Italy. Next, we've got an email. This is from Nancy, a World Prayer Team member who writes from her home in Maine. The World Prayer Team means so much to me. I've been informed of the plight and joys in so many people's lives around the world as they hear about the only true and living God and understand His love for them. I've been able to use the daily emails as a stepping stone in my prayers as I pray for those who are mentioned and also for thousands more just like them around the world. Thank you for bringing this to my attention every day. This is the first thing I look for in my inbox. Way to go, Nancy. My prayers are with you, and for your ministry around the world, may God continue this good work in His great name. Well, thanks again, Nancy. It's great to have you as a prayer partner. And by the way, you can join Nancy and me and thousands of other Through the Bible listeners and start their morning off right as we pray for God's whole word to reach His whole world. Just visit us, ttb.org/pray. And if you'd like to support the Bible bus as it makes its way around the world in more than 120 languages and dialects, you can visit us too at ttb.org/give or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Remember, Through the Bible is an entirely listener-supported ministry, and we're so grateful for your help in providing a tank of gas or a new set of tires to keep the Bible bus rolling along. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts and minds to hear from you. Please help us understand the richness and truth that can be found in the verses that we study today. In Jesus' name, amen. Here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we come today to the epistle to the Romans, and we have here in the introduction the first 17 verses. We have Paul's personal greeting in the first seven verses. Then we have Paul's personal purpose in verses 8 through 13, and then Paul's three I ams, 14 through 17. Now, as we come here to verse 1, we hope you'll follow us rather carefully as we go through this epistle. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, you will notice, first of all, that the little verb, to be, is in italics, which means it's not in the manuscripts. It's not in the original. And it should be Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle and separated under the gospel of God. Now, Paul identifies himself here in this epistle as a servant. And the word is doulos, and it means a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Now, he is here an apostle, but first of all, he calls himself a servant. Now, that's very important to see. It's important to see for the very simple reason that he took this place willingly. The Lord Jesus Christ, friends, he's loved us, and he's given himself for us. But the very interesting thing is that he never makes you his slave at all. You have to do that voluntarily, come to him, and make yourself a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is something that is wonderful beyond measure. When he saves you, why, he won't force you actually to serve him. If you'll notice that he said even to Jerusalem, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how many times I would have gathered you," just like a mother hen gathers her little chicks under her wings, "but you would not." And the Lord Jesus said on one occasion, you remember, he says, "You'll not come to me that you might have life." He won't force you. You have to do this on your own. You have to come to him, but you have the privilege of making yourself a bond slave of Jesus Christ. Now, you'll recall that when Paul was saved, the thing that was said to him on the Damascus Road, first of all, he asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." He came to know him as his Savior. And then his question was, "What will you have me to do?" That is the one. And that is the time he made himself a bond slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something that is quite wonderful, by the way. Now, will you notice that he also says here that he's not only a servant of Jesus Christ, but he is an apostle. And he's a called apostle. It doesn't mean he was called to be an apostle. It means this is the kind of an apostle that he was, that the Lord Jesus had called him to be an apostle, and he was called into that office. He didn't choose it. The Lord Jesus told him that he was to be his witness. And this man now, first of all, made himself a servant, a bond slave of Jesus Christ, but now he is a called apostle. And that's the only kind of a servant God's going to use, by the way, one that he has chosen. There are too many men, I'm afraid, actually in the ministry today, that God didn't call them at all. Paul could say, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel." And you remember Jeremiah, he was called even as a little child. But he could say to the false prophets, and God said to them, "I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied." He was a called apostle. Now, an apostle is one who had seen the resurrected Christ. Paul had seen him. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 that he had appeared to him as one born out of due season. But also there was another mark of an apostle of that day, and that was an apostle had what we call the sign gifts. Paul said that he could speak in tongues. Now, I believe that when he went through that Galatian country and came over into the area along the Aegean Sea, where there were so many Greek cities, so many tribes, so many peoples, that he was unable to speak the language of each tribe as he came among them. He spoke in tongues. He was an apostle. And then he had the gift of healing, a gift that we do not believe is in existence today. God heals today directly. I tell folk I took my case directly to the great physician. I didn't take it to one of the interns. I took it to the great physician. And I think that today God heals. But he doesn't give that gift today to man. But Paul had that gift. And he not only had the gift of healing, he could raise the dead. And that was the mark of an apostle. Peter raised the dead. Paul raised the dead, you see. Now, Paul is a bond slave of Jesus Christ. He's a called apostle. And now, the third thing that is said here, he's separated under the gospel of God. And I want you to notice this, because this is a remarkable thing. He was separated unto, and not separated from something, but separated unto the gospel of God. And it's God's gospel because he originated. The gospel, you see, is something God thought of. I didn't think of it. Man didn't think of it. The Lord didn't say 1,900 years ago, well, I know it's the fullness of time, and it's time for Jesus to come into the world, but maybe Vernon McGee won't like it. Maybe he's got a better program, and we'll wait till he gets here. He didn't do that at all. I got here, and the gospel had been in existence 1,900 years, and it's God's gospel. And he said that to me, he says, you take it or leave it. And by the way, he's saying that to you. You take it or leave it. He originated the gospel. But Paul says he's separated unto the gospel. Not separated from something, but separated unto. And this is a very marvelous word, by the way. Separated unto. And there are several words that almost have an opposite meaning. For instance, you take the word cleave. A thing can cleave to something, or you can cleave a thing asunder. It actually can mean one time to join together, and another time it can mean to separate. Now, the word separated. We hear so much today about this matter of separation. Well, Paul was a separated Christian, but he is separated to something, not from something. And I'm afraid that we've got a great many Christians that are separated from something. In fact, when I hear some talk, I have an idea they're doing a spiritual striptease. They say, I've taken this off, I don't do this, I don't do that. Well, my friend, what are you separated unto? Not what you're separated from. And the important thing is to be separated unto something. Now, Paul said about the Thessalonians, how they turned to God from idols. They didn't get up in a testimony meeting and say, oh, I don't go to the temple of Apollo anymore. They didn't need to say that. They were separated unto the Lord Jesus. And when they're separated unto him, why, you don't need to be separated from something. I hear people today say, should a Christian be separated from something? And they mention something. And I think there's so many barren lives, they get separated from something, and they're joyless, and they become very critical, and some even very cynical. My friend, you're to be separated unto Christ. Now, when you're separated unto Christ, then the separation from takes place. A man gets married. I have in my marriage ceremony. Do you promise to love and to keep yourself under her or under him and no one else? And that's separation, separated under one person. That's what marriage is. Well, imagine a fellow getting married, and the first night of his honeymoon, he says to his new bride, he says, I got a girlfriend in this town. I think I'll call her up and go over to see her. And there are a lot of Christians that that's the kind of separation they have, you see. It's a separation from something, but not under something. And if you're separated unto the Lord Jesus, then, my friend, you're not going to worry about this separated from something. And the very interesting thing is, it means that you've got a life that appeals, not one that turns people off. A lot of people turn the unsaved off by their lives. There was a little Chinese girl once said, you know, says, Christians are salt. Salt makes you thirsty. That's one to think over, friends. And by the way, are you and I making anybody thirsty for Christ? He's the water of life. Do we make them thirsty? And by the way, this word separated is a very interesting word. In my notes, I talk about this word, for it occurs again a little later on, but it's the same word we get our word horizon from. And it's aphorizo, and it means it would be off or from horizon. I always, in taking a plane trip, have noticed something that when the plane takes off, it brings you up to places where the horizon gets enlarged. I remember that taking off in Athens. And when we took off, my, you couldn't see anything. I tried to see the Acropolis. I tried to see the ocean. I couldn't see a thing. We hadn't gone very far. You could see the ocean. You could see the Acropolis. You could see the islands. You could see the mountains. You could see it all when you get up there. The higher we went, why, the wider the horizon got. And how wonderful it is to be separated unto Christ, because he brings you to the place where your horizons are enlarged and you're given a new life in Christ Jesus. And how wonderful that new life is. It brings you to a new place and appreciation of life. This is what I mean. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I acted as a child. When I came a man, I put away childish things. Now, there was a time when I can recall as a boy that I used to play house, because there were a bunch of girls in the neighborhood, and there were only a couple of us boys, and so in order to play, we played house. Well, there came a day, friends, when I outgrew that stuff. And I went out and played baseball. And the girls would say, let's play house. And I said, no, I'm playing first base on the team. I'm not interested in that. A new horizon. And then there came a day when I not only not interested in playing baseball, I can't play baseball. But the thing is that I'm interested in something else. Horizons have widened out. And if you come to Christ, you're separated unto him. Separation doesn't mean you're drawn in and you become little and narrow. Why, it means, friends, that your life has broadened out. And today there's so many wonderful things that you can do as a child of God. And you can have an appreciation of things today. May I say to you that it's thrilling to live today. What a glorious, wonderful thing it is. Now, he says here, he's separated under the gospel of God. And this is a wonderful verse. And he said, this is not something, the gospel is not just brand new. It was promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And that means that if you go back into the Old Testament, that you'll find out that it was promised all the way through the Old Testament. And it is a message that God loves. That's good news, that God loves mankind, and that God today is saving mankind. What a wonderful thing that it is. It brings you into a love relation. And we're going to see in this epistle that salvation is a love affair. He loved us, and we love him because he first loved us. And whom having not seen, we love, Simon Peter said. And Paul made it very personal. He said he loved me and he gave himself for me. How wonderful. Now we come here to that which some have put in a parenthesis, but it's one of the greatest statements that we have here. And we're told what the gospel is that was promised in the Holy Scriptures. It's concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. And the word concerning is the little preposition peri. And you have that in periscope or perimeter. And it just means that which encircles. The gospel is all about Jesus Christ. It's what he's done. It's his work. And it's concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You have his full title here. He's the Son of God. And he's Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is his wonderful name. It's what he's done. We hear a great deal. Liberalism has talked for years about what we need is to have the religion of Jesus. Well, he had no religion. He didn't need one. He was God. What we need today is to have a religion that's about Jesus, all about him, surrounds him. It's what he's done. Jesus Christ, actually, he was God. He cannot worship. He is to be worshiped. Somebody says, but he prayed. Well, he took a place, actually, of humanity, and he did that for your sake and my sake. And when he prayed, he did it as a means of accommodation. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, I mean simply this. You remember at the grave of Lazarus? It says Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by and said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. That's John 11:41-42. My friend, he prayed for your benefit and my benefit today to help our faith. But he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now will you notice, we have something else wonderful that's said about him here. He is of the seed of David according to the flesh. That's the humanity of Jesus. And he's declared not to be, because he always was. He's declared the Son of God with power. You see, what happened was that the resurrection did not make him the Son of God. It just revealed what he was. And here we have that same word, horizon, that we've had before. And he's declared, he's horizon, the Son of God. We have the perfect humanity of Christ here and the perfect deity of Christ here. And the oldest creed in the church said he's very man of very man and he's very God of very God. And Paul said it before the creed said it, my friend. Here it is here. And he's not any more man because he's God, and he's not any less God because he's man. He is the theanthropic person. He's the God-man. Now, it's according to the Spirit of holiness. Now, I personally believe here the reference is to the Holy Spirit. I think that you have the Trinity set before us here. I think that you have here the Trinity. It's concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. And he's the Son of God, declared to be with power according to the Spirit of holiness. And you have the Holy Spirit here. And it's by the resurrection from the dead. May I say to you, the resurrection proves everything. It is that which sets him forth here as the Son of God. The resurrection, I think it proves something. And it sets him forth. Now, will you notice that we have the Trinity set before us? We have the deity of Christ set before us? We have the virgin birth set before us. He's of the seed of David according to the flesh. And that's the reason that you have two genealogies. One genealogy is in Matthew. That's a Joseph. He got the legal title from Joseph. But I want to tell you, he got the blood title from Mary, because he's in the line of Mary, and that's her genealogy that's in the Gospel of Luke. He is the God-man. There are those that say Paul never talked the virgin birth. I'd like to know what you have here if this is not the virgin birth. My friend, this is a tremendous statement. I haven't even exhausted it yet. We didn't get very far today, but we're going to pick right up our next time. And so until then, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
Wow. That was a lot of important information covered in a very few short verses. If you want to spend more time lingering over the truths that Dr. McGee shared with us today, or maybe to invite a family member or friend to listen to this foundational message, visit ttb.org and click on the orange button that says Listen. If you want to listen to our series on Romans again, why don't you order the entire 5-year journey all on one little flash drive? Think of it, every program, every study from Genesis to Revelation, all in the palm of your hand. You'll be able to listen to them on your computer or any device with a USB port. Or save them to your computer and then transfer them onto your tablet or smartphone, MP3 player. The options are pretty much endless. Why don't you check it out online yourself at ttb.org/shop. Look for a little Bible bus, by the way. And when you contact us, be sure to tell us how you listen to Through the Bible. Just give us the name of, if it's your local radio station, great, or if you need to let us know that you listen online, or if you listen by podcast or through one of our apps. And also if you listen primarily using one of our particular products, like the Solar Bible Bus or the Flash Drive. Remember, this little bit of information really helps us make important decisions as we seek to be wise stewards of the resources that God has so faithfully provided through you, our generous listening family. Send an email to BibleBus@TTB.org or give us a call at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, tomorrow our journey through the first chapter of Romans continues, so if you haven't yet read through chapter 1, I'd encourage you to do it right now. And don't forget to grab your free copy of Dr. McGee's Notes and Outlines for Romans at ttb.org/notes. I'm Steve Schwetz. For all of us at Through the Bible, we're praying that the grace, mercy, and peace of our Lord would be with you as you walk with Him today. We're so grateful for the faithful and generous support of Through the Bible's partners who are being used by God to take the whole word to the whole world.